Hi everyone, and welcome to this AIM Executive Leadership interview. Today we are going to discuss AIDC's impact on temperature monitoring, with SpotC having an entire line of temperature indicators and recorders to identify solutions for the cold chain. AIM felt it would be great to speak with Tony Funk on the subject. Tony is the CEO at SpotC and serves AIM in an important role as a board member. So let's get into it and discuss how AIDC enables the necessary solutions to monitor temperature during shipping and administration. Welcome to the podcast again, Tony. It's great to have you.
Hi, nice to see you or speak with you.
So my first question is, why are temperature indicators and recorders necessary in the cold chain?
Well, for a number of different reasons, the predominant reason is spoilage. So, you know, obviously with anything that has a shelf life to it, particularly something as sensitive as a vaccine or a therapeutic or even simple medications, you know, temperature monitoring is very, very important. So much so that, you know, it's regulated to an extent in a number of different countries around the world, including the United States, with growing regulation as well.
So what exactly is a time temperature indicator and how do they work?
So it's just as it sounds. It measures time and temperature. And better, probably the best way to think about this is, you know, the difference between a time temperature indicator and just a normal temperature indicator or threshold-based temperature indicator as it's defined in the industry, is that a threshold-based indicator just tells you if you weren't over a certain threshold temperature. So, you know, if all of a sudden there was a spike of temperature and for a flash of a moment, you know, the vaccine saw 100 degrees Fahrenheit, then, you know, it's going to go off and it's going to trigger, say, red, right? The difference between that and a time temperature indicator is the time temperature indicator actually measures the temperature, the exposure over time to a specific temperature. So think about it like a perishable in your own refrigerator. You know, it takes a while for an apple to spoil, as an example, or it takes a while for fish to spoil, as an example. And you know, really, if you brought that fish out of the refrigerator for just a moment, obviously that's not going to be an issue. If you left it out over a period of time, a time temperature indicator tells you for how long has that that particular vaccine or therapeutic in this case actually been exposed to a temperature over the threshold. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely. And as the COVID-19 vaccine is shipping worldwide, is a time temperature indicator a solution to show that all doses administered meet the necessary standards to keep a patient protected?
Absolutely, it does, and it is. And so, you know, one of the benefits of actually having a time temperature indicator or an indicator level type monitor is the cost effectiveness of it. So we're actually utilizing chemicals that are able to show benign chemicals to that point, but that actually show that or mimic the spoilage curve of the vaccine, so that, you know, whoever's receiving that vaccine or administering that vaccine can very quickly tell whether or not the vaccine has been exposed to temperatures that are unacceptable and therefore potentially making it ineffective. And so, you know, the worst case scenario is that, you know, you're putting a shot into somebody or a jab into somebody and it's been rendered, you know, ineffective because it's been exposed to a temperature. Meanwhile, that person's walking around thinking that they're you know, they're vaccinated and they're actually not.
So some COVID-19 vaccines require dry ice in the shipping and storage process. What sort of solutions are available to accurately show that proper temperatures have been maintained?
Well, there's a number of different solutions, but really, I shouldn't say that. I mean, it really breaks down into two different categories. You've got your basic recorders. I should say three categories: connected recorders, your basic recorders, and indicators. And so, you know, when we talk about connected recorders, you know, there's cellular-based solutions that can communicate, you know, immediately when a temperature excursion occurs. Problem is they're very cost effective, cost are very costly and not very cost effective. you know, basically you're sending a cell phone with your shipment of vaccines. And obviously you can't do that on every single vaccine. As you start to break that bulk and get a little bit smaller, you have just normal data recorders. So those are basically temperature sensors that are recording data over time, typically produce a PDF report that says, hey, this is the journey that this particular set of vaccines has been on from manufacturer all the way to typically distribution. Then once that bulk gets broken even further down into boxes, we call it cases, boxes, or even individual vaccines, you know, obviously the cost needs to come down with that. And that's where your temperature indicators are effective and come into play.
Great. So as I stated at the start of the podcast, one of the reasons we really wanted to have you on today was because SpotC has developed technologies for COVID-19 vaccine monitoring. Can you tell me how you got involved in developing these solutions?
Yeah, we've been at this for over 52 years. So, either through innovation or through acquisitions that we've done over time. Most recently, our acquisitions of two different companies called LCR Hallcrest, another called TMC Hallcrest, that are really, really heavy in temperature monitoring. But we as SpotC have been in this business for a very long time as well. Case in point is we're utilized in a number of different medical devices, a number of different life science products, a number of different vaccines, a number of different therapeutics, et cetera, and have been for a while. In fact, flu vaccines were majorly involved in the shipments of flu vaccines for the major distributors here in the United States and abroad, as well as major manufacturers here and abroad, specifically with our Warmark product. In addition to that, we do a lot of other things. So, examples would be medical devices, monitoring medical devices for damage in transport or in use, particularly in hospitals, utilizing some of our RFID type products that monitor impact or tilt, utilizing RFID. Another is tilt for therapeutics. So therapeutics, obviously, are basically mixtures and sensitive to mixing before ready. And so tilting can be an issue, obviously, there. When we talk about temperature, we've talked a lot about temperature, time temperature and or threshold based. A lot of applications, both in medical devices, therapeutics, and vaccines for those. And then interestingly, we participate with our customers and work with our customers in a lot of different ways in the life sciences space, where we're actually embedding our technologies directly into the medical devices themselves. So one recent example is the growing space of saliva testing, obviously propelled by COVID, but being used in a number of different applications from diabetes testing, menopause testing, even cancer testing, and now even concussion testing, believe it or not, utilizing saliva. The challenge that companies in this space have had is that when you're administering this at home, you don't get enough of a saliva test. Our indicators, we have a line of hydrochromic indication technologies that are able to tell you that you actually spit enough into the sample, and it changes color to let you know that you've done that, so that you can send it on and get an appropriate diagnosis, as opposed to sending too little and not being able to diagnose. So these are examples of our activity in the life sciences space. It's our largest business segment. We serve a lot of other segments in the supply chain space, from power generation to general logistics, automotive, et cetera. But life sciences, hands down, is the biggest space that we play in, and one that we're very focused on because of the sensitivity to changing conditions.
Great. So you just touched upon this a little bit, but maybe you can expand some. So when the pandemic hopefully ends soon, where are some other areas these monitoring solutions can be used?
Yeah, you're right. I just gave some examples on saliva testing, but really it's amazing all of the different applications pre-pandemic and expected post-pandemic that we're going to continue to play in. I'll tell you one area that we're just excited about for humanity reasons is the propulsion of the mRNA technology. Obviously that's temperature sensitive, but just so promising in terms of other applications that can be used for, predominantly, when we start to think about cancer and how we treat cancer, utilizing the mRNA technology, just as we get closer and closer to our customers, we're seeing a lot of applications where, that's going to be necessary. And frankly, our assistance in helping to monitor the condition of those is obviously crucial going forward in the future.
Great. And what do you see as the next steps or solutions to continue successfully monitoring temperatures throughout the supply chain?
Well, cost is a big issue. So as I'd mentioned with cellular monitors and even data recorders, you know, they're just too costly. And if you think about it, what's driving that cost is the battery, first and foremost, but also there's environmental conditions that are, come with the battery as well. Meaning, you know, if it's too hot or too cold, it actually slows the performance of the battery and therefore slows the performance or changes the performance and lifespan of that monitoring device. So there's a lot of reasons why, you know, a simple battery-less indicator, time temperature indicator, as an example, or even threshold indicator, can be an effective solution there. But when you talk about where it's the future, it's how do we drive down cost and reduce battery, right? But still capture a data point, and that's extremely important. You see how we're doing that in some ways today with our ShockWatch RFID product, where we've taken our novel, unique technology of indicating, you know, an impact and triggering an RFID circuit so that you have battery-less, unique identification, but able to detect an impact. And in fact, in medical devices, we've got major governmental organizations today that are utilizing this product and shipping medical devices around the world because obviously impact or damage to those can be an issue. As we look forward, we see, you know, that playing a big role, particularly in where the Drug and the Supply Chain Security Act and other similar regulations around the world are occurring. As well, Drug and Supply Chain Security Act here in the United States, which is basically effective in 2023, calling for unique identification down to a unit or call it almost consumption level of vaccines and medications, but also alluding to specific conditions to make sure that the condition of those medications have been properly stored and transported as well. So that's the opportunity that we see and one that we look forward to participating in more.
Great stuff, Tony. Thank you again for your time and insights, and I'm looking forward to more conversations with you in the future.
Perfect. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.